Hey, Danger Dan Jers here with a quick announcement. The nomination window for the 2024 Crit Awards closes on May 31st, and it would mean the world to us to have your help getting on the ballot. A link to the nomination form, as well as a document with some of our suggested responses, is in the episode description. But that being said, please feel free to vote for whichever shows you are most passionate about. Thank you for listening, and now, back to the show. Call of Cthubidu is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror mystery intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Hex Girls!
When you hear something go bump in the night, or you swear you're being watched by disembodied eyes, and you're not sure if you can make it out alive, you gotta decide to run or fight for your life.
Hello and welcome to Call of Cthubidu, a comedy horror mystery real play podcast loosely based on Call of Cthulhu 7th edition and starring everyone's favorite meddling kids and their dumb dog. I'm Danger Dan Jers, and I'm your host slash crypt keeper of arcane lore.
Hi, I'm Ben Backett, and I play Shaggy Rogers, animal handler, and also the most hungriest man in all of Coolsville. And last time, myself and Scoob, we went back to go see Constance. Well, the first time we went to go see Constance, we had a little bit of an issue, because when we went inside the Snacks Corps building, a bunch of crazy stuff happened, as in we had a chase, and I went through a door, which led me to another door, which led me to a different door, and I got lost in some doors, which was fun. But in the meantime, we also saw something really creepy, as in Constance having a full-on aneurysm or something. Like, her brain just went completely kaput because I went to talk to her directly about the Scooby Snacks, and she just went all, ugh. So, yeah, that happened. Now we're back with the gang. We're ready to go on and try to find out what the heck is going on in Coolsville with that creepy meteor.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I'm playing Daphne Blake, our team's dilettante, and to steal a line from Shadowheart Baldur's Gate, God's favorite princess. Last session, me and Velma did some research at the library, got to meet the wonderful Miss Shusham. Absolute doll, loved her makeup. It was definitely something that she put on her face. And I'm not saying that I'm jealous that Shaggy and Scooby got to do the cool door chase, but maybe a little bit jealous of that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aaron, and I play Fred Jones, our intrepid van driver and leader of the gang. Last time we went to the National Exaggerator, and I got to meet Uncle Eddie, and we had a really fun time, and I bled all over his books and his precious archived stuff, but he was a good sport about it. He was a lot of fun. Love that man. After that, everyone else did important things. Velma went to the library with Daphne, and Shaggy and Scooby ran around and killed Constance McSnack. It was wild. But most important, Freddy finally went to the hospital. And I'll tell you what, got that ticking time bomb out of me. Now there's no appendix.
Hello, my name's Jordan. I play Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Doo. And last time, so much happened. We almost lost Shaggy. We almost lost Shaggy to the world of ambivalence. And that was too heartbreaking. We had a crazy chase. Shaggy ran over the same bridge like three times. I did some statue hijinks, as Cthubies do. And now we have just enough information that we feel like going to the source of the problem, confronting our enemies at Snacks Corp, and hopefully solving the mystery.
Well, hi, I'm Grayson, and I'm playing Velma Dinkley. So last episode got a little bit complicated, but it's okay. Daphne and I are fine. We're totally friends still. Didn't have to call her questionable alliance to take care of me. I totally came through when it came to the library stuff, and it was totally not a problem.
So yeah, we did the whole library thing and also went to the National Exaggerator, found out some really cool information, got some awesome spells, really looking forward to using them. And now we've got some stuff coming to us that I'm really looking forward to.
All right, and with that, let's go solve the mystery.
I'm going to start setting up a trap.
You got to get there first.
All right, so you set up this trap, I'm assuming, right outside of the Davis Delights factory.
Sure. I'll do it anyway.
Editor Dan here. While Fred was at the hospital, I gave Aaron a blank page and some marker tools, so he actually does have a really elaborate trap prepared.
As we're driving over, I look over to Fred and I was like, man, like, did you get patched up in the hospital or something?
Yeah, and they took out my appendix. Look! And I hold up a little, like, plastic baggie with my appendix in it.
Like, man, why do you still have that?
They let you keep it.
Why did they let you keep it?
I was very insistent.
Oh, of course you were, Fred.
Oh.
I'm just amazed she went to the hospital.
I can understand the dentist letting you keep the teeth for the tooth fairy, but man, there's no such thing as an appendix fairy.
I hope not. Anyway, I put it back in the center, Dad.
You drive past a set of shrubs that has this very grizzled, disheveled-looking man in a tutu with wings that is staring you down and eyeing the appendix bag.
No. Oh, God, no!
Why would you do that? I hate it.
It wasn't even a hallucination. No, that one was just real.
Man. That's just a real man.
As you walk by, you just hear...
No, no, please, out of my ears. I'm wearing headphones. Stop.
Oh. The appendix fairy is canon now.
I hate it.
What have I done?
All right, so you approach the Davis Delights factory.
We do.
Fred, do you want to describe the trap that you set up?
Oh, boy.
Or do you want to save it for when the time comes?
Oh, it has to be when the time comes.
All right, it shall remain a secret. So in the meantime now, you head into the Davis Delights factory. There's a hustle and bustle of different factory workers that are coming and going and that are avoiding eye contact with you, that are keeping themselves kind of hidden. They are mostly running back and forth between a couple of doors as they are in a frenzy trying to meet the deadline that is mere hours away. Go ahead and roll, I suppose, spot hidden.
Ooh.
Nope.
Nope.
Aw, no. 56.
45.
76.
53.
Did everyone fail?
Yep.
Pretty sure. Spot hidden, 25. I rolled. Haha, funny sex number.
Can I push?
Sure.
Just for the hell of it. That's even worse. It's 85.
I mean, I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, shit's going to hit the fan anyways.
I'll wait for everyone to resolve their roles before I do consequences.
Okay.
That is a 9.
Oh.
I spot that hidden so good.
I, for once, did not push.
You just want everyone else to.
My spot hidden is a 25, and I did get a 24, so.
So that's a success. Scooby, with your 9, is that an extreme success?
That's an extreme success. I had to beat
that's
a 10.
Gotta be.
Oh, so just barely an extreme success.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so. Daphne, for your failed push, you, as you are trying to look around and get some more information on what's going on, you make eye contact accidentally with one of the factory workers.
Oh, God, I was so afraid you were going to say it was the fairy.
Oh.
It is now.
No!
Oh, God! No! No!
You see a shadowy figure emerging from the corner, hidden away.
Hey, you spotted hidden.
That is darting between the shadows. And you see, just for an instant, the appendix fairy coming after Fred.
No.
And then you lose track of it. Roll sanity.
Oh, God. Why'd you do this?
15, I'm fine. I have not failed a single sanity check.
Thank
I'm the most
God.
Sane of all of us here.
You see that nasty man and you're like, it's fine. I've seen worse.
I just sit there and watch this nasty man chasing after Fred and I go, yeah, that looks like Coolsville.
Yeah. All right. With the success, as you are looking around, you can see an office that is overhanging all of this, and you see the silhouette of Scott Davis looking down and observing the factory workers on the floor. And you can see a couple of other people coming and going. You see Steve stepping out of the office and hasn't noticed any of you yet, but he is within eyeshot. Scooby, with your extreme success, you notice all of that, and you see the little bit of the list that is still stuck to Shaggy's shoe.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I peel it off his shoe.
And unfortunately, all that remains of the list is the top of the layabouts portion. And you spot a mostly obscured name. I'm going to send it your way.
Rook. Rayabouts. Reh. Ning.
What?
I got R-E dash dash N-G. You know what I think that is?
A red herring.
Red herring. I show the list to the rest of the group with the number one layabout red herring at the top.
I mean, yeah.
So as you're doing this, Steve is beginning to come down the stairs. He hasn't noticed you up until this point. As you are going through this list, he does spot you and start to move in your direction.
Mm. Daphne.
Yes, Velma. Kind of still staring in the direction of where the appendix fairy was.
By chance, do you think we might need a little bit more muscle outside?
Are you asking me to be, I believe the kids are using the word sus?
In this, the year 1969.
In this, the year 1969?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to do anything that wouldn't secure all of our positions.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I have to go make a call. I'll be right back.
On a landline. Excellent. Because cell phones weren't invented until 1971.
She goes and, like, finds...
There's a payphone just down the street.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, no. She goes real quickly, calls.
All right, here we go.
The moment Dan's been loathing.
We would like to apologize to the Italian-American community just up front.
I accept your apology. As you call, the line rings, and then you hear... You hear a hesitant voice say,
hello?
And there's a bunch of commotion that you can hear just out of range of the phone as you hear a muffled,
help! Help! All right, boys, we gotta make sure that we get Miss Penelope out of this.
Oh my God.
You'll never get me alive until my...
Oh my God.
Come on, Mr. Clyde, sir, I'll catch him right away. We'll never get it.
Daphne's just kind of sitting there waiting patiently, checking her nails.
Just hang on just a second. Clive will be with you shortly.
Thank you.
Dan had to go and practice all of these guys. He's got him. He nailed him. But I know that that had to have taken some work.
I'm not done.
Oh, God.
So sorry.
I got him, Clive. I've got a yo-yo, I've got a badminton rack, and I've got three trampolines. That'll never stop him.
Oh, my God!
I'll get you for this, Aunt Hill Mom. You haven't seen the last of the Hooded Claw. Give me your phone, dum-dum. Sounds like it's something important. Okay, boss. All right, Clive's gonna be right here.
Thank you, dum-dum.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Oh, Clyde, darling, it's Daphne. I hope that Penelope's doing well. It sounds like you boys have things perfectly handled over there.
Oh, you know how it is, Miss Blake. We got things all sorted out. We're going to get Miss Penelope right back to her legal guardian, Sylvester Sneakley, and she should be okay for a little while.
Good, good. If you have the time, I was hoping if you could come on out to the Davis Delights factory, I could use a little bit of your, expertise with you and the rest of the crew.
All right, Miss Blake, what kind of emergency are we talking here? Are we talking chug-a-boom or are we talking the bulletproof bomb?
Oh my God.
What's the difference?
The bulletproof bomb was the car they drove in the wacky races. Chug-a-boom is the car that they drive in the Perils of Penelope pit stop. The bulletproof bomb is faster, but chug-a-boom is sentient.
Oh my God.
Oh, oh dear God.
That's quite a choice.
All the sanity.
The nice part of me says the bulletproof bomb because it's going to be helpful. The me part of me says I want to hear Dan do the chug-a-boom voice.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to really quickly look up what chug-a-boom sounds like.
You don't have to. You don't have to. It's a bulletproof bomb incident.
God, you're such a trooper.
I know.
I've been stressing over doing the Ant Hill Mob for so long.
You did so good. They were all so good.
Oh, that was too cool, though.
Okay, I think it's just sputtering that he makes.
Okay, then.
Okay, so yeah, it's a sentient car that doesn't really speak. It's not all like right. Speed Buggy.
Okay.
All right, if it sounds like a real emergency, then get the bulletproof bomb. We should be there within the hour. Is there any sort of materials you need us to bring along with us?
Fred, is there anything you're going to need for your plan?
Absolutely. Gosh and golly. And I'll, like, shoulder check you off the phone. Oh.
Miss Blake? Miss Blake, are you okay?
I'm fine.
I'm sure. Yeah, she's fine. And I will secretly relay the decreasingly plausible materials I need for my trap. But again, I'll keep it a secret from the party for now.
Oh.
All right, let me just think up an appropriate amount of money that would cost.
You can look at it now if you want to figure out. Some of them are...
Oh, God.
Daphne kind of calls out over the phone, whatever it is, I can cover it.
All right, I'm going to call whatever this is 1,000.
Oh, my God.
And then if there's any other expenses you need, any sort of additional firepower, we can get that going too, but we were just, we might need a little extra cash for that.
I think I have $9.
I literally still have $3,080 to spend. It is no biggie. I think that we'll be fine. Just bring your bodies. We'll need some extra bodies.
All right, we're going to bring some Tommy guns just in case.
That works.
Some real goddamn guns. In another timeline... I would order food, but alas,
oh.
It is not our reality.
All right, we'll be there within an hour.
Thank you, boys. Give Penelope my love.
Whatever you say, Miss Blake. Miss Penelope, Miss Blake's on the line. You want to say hello?
Oh, boy.
No, that's all right. I don't need to hold her up with little old me.
I want to say a thing, but I'm going to keep it PG.
Click beep.
Beep, beep, beep.
Nope. Moving on.
Hey, Davis Delights. Let's go.
So all of that happened, and then you go into Davis Delights. And you see the name on the paper, and you see Steve Davis beginning to head down towards you. He motions off to the side towards the shadows and does a couple of fingers waving his direction. And you see off in the distance, with arms crossed, keeping an eye by the door, you see a security guard with big, bushy red hair.
I knew it.
What?
Step out of the shadows and just narrow his eyes at you.
I knew it.
As Steve makes his way up and says, I hope you all are here because you've reconsidered on our snacks and not for any other nefarious purposes. We've already gotten off on the wrong foot and I wouldn't like us to continue walking down the wrong path. And the security guard cracks his knuckles.
Is his hair still bloody?
Roll luck.
Oh, 35. That's a hard success.
Yeah.
With a 35, Red Herring is spotless.
Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And you hear him mutter under his breath, it's not very funny, Jones.
Gosh, I think it's been pretty funny so far, friends.
So what can I do for you all here today?
Well, I mean, you could shell out the monster.
So let me get this straight. You came to my factory demanding to see a monster, the same monster that's been attacking the town, and did you think it would just show up?
Well, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
That's usually what just happens, yeah.
That's how it happens.
Kind of how it goes.
Uh-huh.
That third act little chase, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was yours.
So we all know this is Red Herring, or does only one of us know it's Red Herring?
You see that it's Red Herring.
All right, cool. I point over to Red Herring. He's like, I mean, he was dead a few days ago.
Right?
So it's kind of like, maybe something's not adding up here, man.
And Red Herring says, I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds like slander to me.
Oh my God.
Man, I saw your body at the Scooby Snacks factory.
Well, you must have seen something else then.
So, Red, how long exactly have you been working here?
Red takes a step or two closer, and Steve motions for him to back down, and Red steps away, and Steve says, Mr. Herring has been under my employ for the last couple of days. Ever since the Snacks Corp factory shut down, he needed a little extra work, and he makes for an acceptable security guard.
So, we would say he's not a rayabout?
As you say that, he lunges forward and says, hey, you knocked that off. That's not very funny.
I'd like to wedgie the shit out of him.
Heck yeah!
Yeah!
You know what, Fred? Same.
I was about to say that I'm going to try and throw him, but yeah, I'll watch this.
Hold up. He's going for my dog, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Shag is going Super Saiyan.
Heck yeah. I love that we came here to build a trap, but no, we're just going to bully the hell out of Red Herring.
He deserves that shag, it.
You're not wrong.
After the dog.
You're not wrong.
So I have an interesting question. Can you push a success?
Oh,
I wouldn't.
You can if you want to try to go for a hard or an extreme. You can also burn your luck to ratchet up your success to additional thresholds.
Guys, I don't think we need to, because you want to know what Shaggy just rolled? A 7.
Ooh.
That is an extreme success.
Yeah.
All right, Shaggy, go off.
All right, Shaggy, go off.
Yeah! 0.1% of my power!
So as Red tries to lunge for Scoob, I grab his arm, barely showing any sort of strain, and I flip Red upside down, and I chuck him far across the room, just not even looking in his direction. And I just give him a side eye, and I'm like, don't touch my dog, man.
What the hell is this show?
And he will pick himself up from that and just be panting heavily and say, you all are crazy, and runs away.
Hey, you're the crazy one for trying to touch my dog.
Uh-huh.
And then Steve says, okay, there's no need for this kind of commotion. Yes, he was a little out of line, but you're standing here accusing me of all of these things.
We haven't accused you of anything yet, man.
I accused him of having a monster.
He accused me of having a monster.
And also, if you have nothing to hide, how about you show us the ingredients?
Well, those are proprietary.
Mm.
I can't exactly show the ingredients to my biggest competitors. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
You know, I was actually thinking about spending my money and helping to finance one of these new businesses. And since Snack Corp is obviously out of the rakes, I was wondering if maybe I could come to Davis Delights, as I'm 100% just lying to him.
Roll charm. And as all of this commotion is happening, a gray-haired Great Dane walks in from the factory floor and says, Steve, what's happening over here? I'm hearing a big commotion and... Oh! Is that the Scooby-Doo? And he trots over to you and puts out a paw and says, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. You're a big inspiration for me.
Can I give him like a look over? Is he covered in dust? Has he got like a weird thing going on?
He looks like a color palette swap, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, no.
Dan, would it behoove me to push for a hard success, or would a regular success be okay?
A regular success would be fine.
Okay, then I'm not going to push my luck. I got a 39, I needed a 60.
So Steve says, all right, well, if you plan on being a potential investor, then I suppose you can have a look around the factory floor. Sammy, this is Scooby-Doo and his friends. I know, I'm a big fan.
Mmm. Neat.
Can I go and look around for face masks or something?
Sure. I guess roll first aid.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. I didn't do the greatest last time. But we'll see. That's a 2.
Oh, damn.
That is an extreme success. You are able to find face masks for the lot of you.
I'm going to go ahead and start passing out the face mask to whoever wants to use it.
Oh, golly. I'll put it on.
I'll put it on.
Yep.
And Sammy says, I would be happy to show you around. I could show you to my trailer where we film the commercial. I could show you the factory floor. I am just very pleased to find another celebrity in this town.
Can we get a look around the floor, Sammy?
Of course. Follow me. And he brings you in to the factory production floor. So, just as a fan, I've got to ask, how do you do that speech impediment of yours? It makes for such a good mascot thing. I tried to do one myself. I've worked with a speech therapist and everything to get that lift. Yup, right. But it's a little off-putting.
Region Redman? I don't know what you mean.
Oh, are you a method actor? You're really committed to the bit.
Scooby's just very confused.
Do we see either the slime or where the dust is?
Roll occult.
Okay.
With a bonus die.
And I imagine Sammy's sticking pretty close to me, isn't he?
He is sticking very close to you.
Ah, damn it.
I'm gonna go ahead and push that, because that's definitely a fail.
Okay, push the roll.
Yes.
Chaos Gremlin.
Jesus. Okay, I really like these push rolls now. I got a 5.
Oh, wow.
See? See?
That is an extreme success. So as you make it to the factory floor, you see that all of the factory workers have the same condition as Old Man Smithers.
No.
They all look misshapen and deformed as they are hunched over, desperately cranking through the snacks. And you see bits and pieces of the meteor powder and gravel everywhere.
Uh-oh.
And as you walk in, Sammy trots ahead to the factory workers and says, "Keep up the good work, everyone. We're very close to meeting the deadline." And a little bit of that dust and gravel poofs up with every step that he takes. Everybody roll sanity.
Well, we are wearing those face masks.
So roll with 2 bonus die because you've got the face masks.
Does Sammy seem unaffected by the dust?
That's what I was also wondering.
Oh, that got increasingly better. That's an 8.
10.
Oh, 2.
Yes.
I got a
2.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Finally failed a sanity check.
Damn it, Daphne.
Oh.
Hi. Here's the funny thing. By 1 point.
Oh.
I needed a 47. My lowest roll was a 48.
Oh.
So take a D6 of sanity loss.
No, it's just 1. We're doing good.
Oh my god, Daphne.
Oh my god. Everybody's losing their mind and Daphne is just like, oh, man-made horrors beyond my comprehension. Cool.
And Scooby, roll psychoanalysis.
Whoa, okay.
Whoa.
You gotta be kidding me.
Is yours also a 1?
Fine, roll psychology.
Thank you, because psychoanalysis, to get a regular success, I need to roll a 1.
So roll psychology to see if Sammy is affected.
Okay, psychology, it's at least a 10. 38. Do I push it? I don't want it to be bungled up too hard, though.
I mean,
though.
It's been great for me, but that's all I can say.
10's really hard.
I suggest that you do it.
You're a bad influence.
Think of the fun.
God, you're a bad influence. Okay. Oh, it's an 18.
But now you could luck it?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope this is important. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
He seems to be relatively unaffected.
Okay.
And he says, "Well, now that you've seen the factory floor, do you want to meet the owner?"
I think that would be lovely, Sammy.
So, Sammy begins to take you back the way you came, where Scott Davis was stoically overseeing everything. You are intercepted along the way by barreling through the factory, the monster, heading directly towards you. So please tell me how you would like to lure it into the trap and how the trap works.
Well, if it's all set up out front, then we can just dip on right out there. It's sort of a Rube Goldberg machine where step one's pretty easy.
All right.
Roll your trap making skill to be able to lure him in.
Absolutely.
Hold on, wait. Before you do that, there's something very important we haven't done yet. We need everybody to start shouting catchphrases. Here comes a monster.
You're right. We need to check that off the list.
Well, go on then.
All right, let's go. Shaggy, Scooby, Velma, Daphne, Fred.
Zoinks!
Rut-row!
Jinkies!
Jeepers!
Fuck!
Thank you, Aaron.
Fun fact, canonically, Fred's catchphrase is, "Yikes."
Oh. Well.
But fuck works, too.
But fuck was what we were looking for. We all knew it was going to be fuck.
So what was the result of your trap-making roll?
Well, actually, it would have been a fail, if you can believe it.
Oh.
It was an 83. I would like to go ahead and spend that down to a 3.
Whoa!
Whoa. So you are burning 80 points of luck.
Hell yeah.
That is 100% of his luck. But you know what?
Whoa. I guess now's the time.
That is now an extreme success.
Mad lad.
Fantastic. Thank you. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Wowie, look at this.
All right, so I want you to describe to me the sequence of events that follows.
Absolutely. Okay, so first, the whole team runs out and we leap over like a rug that's placed, but it's outside now, which makes it a little bit weird, but we all avoid it.
You dug a ditch.
The monster steps on the rug, which falls into a pit that has like a Sonic the Hedgehog style spring in it. The monster gets sprung onto a giant mouse trap, but with like a pillow on like the metal part so it doesn't like snap a spine or anything.
Ooh.
That closes. There are two rockets on the side that propel it sideways, so it's sliding across the ground. It smashes into two comically large beehives, covering the monster in honey. Then it goes past two comically large cinnamon sticks that exploded with dynamite, powdering the whole monster. And then it gets punched by a jack-in-the-box boxing glove thing that flings the monster into an oversized web spun by a couple of spiders. And then the whole thing is sprayed with a giant can of hairspray, solidifying and shellacking the monster
wow.
in place.
Oh my God.
That's beautiful. So many animals.
Excellent.
Excellent.
All right, so the monster is struggling, writhing and wriggling in place, but is unable to get out of this trap.
Golly, Velma, the honors?
Absolutely. Now let's see who the monster really is, and then try and yank off the mask.
And as you yank off the mask, in the back of your head, Scooby, you hear a gasp from the studio audience.
I look over my shoulder, I'm like, what the hell?
And you all look as underneath the mask, it gets pulled up, and it's Don Knotts.
Don Knotts?
Golly.
And he says, of course, you blame Don Knotts. It's always Don Knotts. I never should have left the Andy Griffith Show. And there's a little bit of latex sticking up from the neck, as this is clearly another mask.
Terribly sorry, I didn't grab tight enough. Now let's see who the monster really is, and I'll grab again.
You pull off the mask, and it's Vincent Van Gool.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Studio audience goes wild.
Let's hear it, Dan. I want to hear it.
I've been reduced to this. I used to have my own frontlining spot on my own TV show with 13 ghosts, and now I'm just a glorified cameo.
All right, that's it. Mask is coming off.
Fred's turn.
You pull the mask off, and it's Johnny Bravo.
Jesus Christ.
I was not even going to let him say anything. I'm just going to walk over and rip the next mask
Yay.
Off.
Please, I want to do my Johnny Bravo so bad.
Fine, I put the mask back on.
Do the Johnny Bravo.
Hey, Sugar Mama, how's a sweet thing like you end up up
oh,
here?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, we are not doing this. Pull the next mask off again.
Yay!
And it's the final mask. And you see the bushy red hair and face of Red Herring.
Red Herring!
And then he sighs and grumbles under his breath. I knew I should have killed you earlier when I had the chance, Jones.
Oh my God!
You took your best shot, loser!
I was banking on that appendix.
No!
All right, I'll explain everything.
Good.
A little harp trills and we go into the flashback.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle,
wiggle. I was working for Snacks Corp, and I was having a really hard time finding a job. Since Fred Jones kept accusing me of everything, everyone just assumed I was always at the bottom of everything. So, I was making a modest living as a security guard when Davis Delights contacted me for a chance to get at the original recipe of the Scooby Snacks, and I had access to the vault and everything. So, I set up and worked together with the Davises to stage an attack on the Snacks Corp Corporation. We broke in. We stole everything. They're using the whole original recipe to pump out their copycat snacks to take over the market while everything's shut down. And I was gonna get a new cushy job here, and it was all going great until you losers all ruined it!
Terribly sorry to correct you, but we're not losers.
That'd be you.
Like, man, you're the one who's, like, covered in honey. I think we're doing just fine.
Fine. But I'm not the one you want.
If you let me go, I'll take you right up to Scott Davis, and you can confront him about the whole thing yourself.
But before we do that, she looks for Clyde. Boys, Tommy guns.
I was just going to say that.
And as you say that, you wait like 5 seconds. Just slightly too awkward of a pause. And then the car rolls up, and the anthill mob files out of the bulletproof bomb. All right, boys, you know what to do. Restrain them.
I hate cinnamon and honey.
How can we be so objectively wrong?
Fred is very pleased by this.
You lost.
Right. What about the reindeer?
Golly, that's true. Red Herring didn't say anything about the weird shit.
And he says from the back of the bulletproof bomb,
I can help you with your other problem if you just let me go.
I'm sure we'll be fine.
And what do you say, Miss Blake? It's entirely up to you.
Can I get those guns?
Oh. Sure, we got Tommy guns for everyone.
Wow.
Cool. She takes her Tommy gun, racks it. All right, Red, get out the car.
Golly, gee. Weaponry.
All right, so everybody, add to your inventory Tommy guns.
Oh, geez.
So yeah, she cuts Red loose and then immediately puts the barrel of a gun to his back.
Oh.
Go on, Red.
All right, all right. Okay. I'm going to take you up to talk to Scott. And you make your way inside. And Sammy is cowering off to the corner in fear as you walk your way up the steps into the office of Scott Davis.
Wait, I want to talk to Sammy.
Oh, please do.
Regrets instantly.
All right, Sammy. Rig is up. What's going on here?
And Sammy will say, I don't know. I saw a monster come in, and I just jumped and hid. Are you okay? Is everything okay?
What do you know about a reindeer?
Roll either charm or intimidate.
Okay. Charm is a 15. Intimidate is 5. Okay. All right, I'm going to push. That was a 55.
Rhino Rammy. Ritz rough. Being a rocking rog, but rump things rup here.
51.
In that case, because you failed on that, roll power.
Power? My power was 4. That's an extreme success.
Oh.
You'll be also using 0.1% of his power.
This is how they were attracted to each other.
True power.
All right, so first thing that I'm going to resolve, because the spell fails. First thing I'm going to resolve is everyone else going up to the office while you're sticking behind with Sammy.
Oh, shit. Spaghettos.
So as everyone else goes up to the office, bringing Red at gunpoint, he opens the door, and where Scott Davis is standing, he does not turn to look over you and continues to look over everything. As you approach closer, do any of you want to interact?
I've got a terrible feeling.
Oh, no.
I know also, what's about to happen.
I also have a terrible feeling about this.
Dolly, looks like you run a tight ship, friend. And I'm gonna, like, pat him on the back hard.
And as you do, you feel it is a very solid clanging. And the animatronic head.
Aww.
Rolls off the side.
Oh, I knew it. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
He was a shell.
And Red freaks out. What? Okay, this is a bad day. This is a really bad day.
Like, you gonna say that again, man?
And meanwhile, Scooby, as you're interacting with Sammy, and as you succeed against his dominate spell,
No! He
says, I really didn't want it to go down like this. But it seems you figured it out. Because that's what you do, Scooby-Doo, isn't it? Because you're a good boy. You're a good boy who saves the day and solves the crimes and the mysteries. I don't know what it's like to be a good boy. I've never been called a good boy.
Oh.
All I've been
is loyal to my brand and my owner in the hopes that one day I could be a good boy, but I never got that from my owner. So I had to find a new one. And shadowy energy begins to emanate off of him. And he begins to grossly contort. And he says, "You might be a good boy, Scooby, but I am a great Dane. I am the greater Dane." And inky black spirals begin to pop out off of him, and eyes begin to dot their way all the way up as he snarls and grasps and grows bigger and bigger, looming over you. And as the factory workers begin to all single file walk their way out the factory towards you and behind him.
Remy! It doesn't have to be like this.
You're right. It still doesn't. You can still be part of this. You can still eat the snacks. You can still help spread the influence so that I can become a greater and greater Dane. You can join me and we can be the greatest Danes.
Make a sanity roll.
While all this is happening, Daphne's going to take a look at Red and go, you can go home, Red. I think you're good to go.
No, you don't have to tell me twice. And he sprints full speed out the factory and just dips it out of there. And as the masses begin to accumulate...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Mystery Inc., you can see from up above all of this going on. And all of you need to make sanity rolls as well.
I failed, by the way.
Rut-row.
All right, you will take 3d6 sanity damage.
Why do you keep doing that to me?
I rolled a 1.
I rolled a 21. I'm okay.
Oh, no. 95.
Oh, Freddy boy.
Fred, 3d6 sanity.
6.
And then I rolled 50.
So is that a fail or is that a success?
Current is 64.
Okay, that's a success. So you will only take 1d6 sanity loss.
I lost 6.
I lost another 1.
Oh, thank God I only lose 1.
I lost 14 sanity.
Oh.
So Fred, you will go indefinitely insane.
Yay.
Roll a d10.
4.
A red mist of rage descends upon you, and you explode in a spree of uncontrolled violence and destruction for 1d10 rounds.
Oh, he's the driver.
So how I will adjust that then, since this is permanent and not temporary, anytime you want to do something that is not overtly violent and destructive, you will have to roll willpower to overcome that.
Sounds good.
And... how do you all want to approach what's happening?
Gang, I think we should go to the car.
So he's like, you could become greater Danes. I go, you're wrong, man. He's already the greatest Dane. And just start unloading my Tommy gun at it.
All right, roll your firearm stat with a bonus die.
Okay, it is a 25.
And then I know what I want to say to Sammy in response to that after.
Oh, 23 on the die.
Woo!
Yes! It's a success. It's not a major one, but it's a success because my other one was an 80.
Ooh.
So he will take 2d6 plus 4 damage.
9 points of damage.
So as you unload into this being, it winces slightly, and then all of the eyes stare up at you, and it begins to grow into a sort of decorporealized cloud. And you see a small window of opportunity as it is reacting to being shot, where you can make a break for the door.
Zoix! I grab Scoob and I run.
Before that, I want to say one last thing to Sammy.
Go for it.
In response to his, you could be a greater Dane if you join me, of like, right, can't rue that, Rammy. Cause you roll why? Right, right, Rinrilla. And I run.
Okay, so as you all run outside, the anthill mob is all standing leaned up against the bulletproof bomb, and Clyde says, whoa, 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 what's all the fuss about?
You should get going right about now.
Okay, whatever you say, Miss Blake. And the anthill mob all file back into the car. Well, gee golly, Mr. Clyde, sir, do you want me to take the wheel this time, sir, so that way we can make a quick getaway? No, 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 leave it to Snoozy. And just passed out and snoring over the wheel.
No.
Is Snoozy, who, while fast asleep, reaches for the gear shift, takes off the parking brake, and then floors it.
Whoa.
And the anthill mob peels away, and the mystery machine peels away, and we are entering into our vehicle chase. As all of the factory workers of one hive mind begin to pour out of the factory, sprinting after you.
What did Fred's drive auto?
I mean, just ask me to roll for it and you'll find out.
Okay, but I have a spell that can make it better. Because I feel like this is very important that you're really good.
God damn it.
You're so loud when I say that.
It said a willing target.
Oh no.
Like this.
Oh my god.
We've already said it. He's a chaos gremlin.
That's true.
You live in danger.
Okay.
The anthill mob is going to move first, and they're going to drive at a diagonal, peeling out away from the factory as they all stick a Tommy gun out each of the windows and prepare to fire back. And each of them will unload on the crowd of factory workers that are swarming like insects, pooling and piling out of this factory. So their two actions are going to be to zip off and to fire and hold back the crowd. So now the mystery machine, you guys collectively can decide what to do with your two actions. If you make a successful drive auto, you can basically gun it and get a third action.
Cool. I will start with the drive auto, but I'm also going to have to throw a little will in there. The drive auto roll was a 5.
Okay.
Okay, so you are able to floor it.
Yeah, oh shit, extreme success on that one. Yeah, cool. Now as for that will.
Oh
shit, a 13 on
heck
will.
Yeah.
Dang. So you can now choose, because of that willpower, you see another crowd of affected fish hybrid people beginning to pop out of other various surrounding buildings towards you and are beginning to pool in the way directly in front of you. You are now no longer compelled to run them over violently. So you could choose to go a different direction if you want.
All right, crew, where do we want to go now that I've given us the choice?
I'm thinking down towards the south.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to go through the group, and the anthill mob is up north, and I feel like
they might get killed.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that Daphne was on board for that.
Sure.
For killing the anthill mob or for going down south?
Just for going down south.
Yeah, south.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you spend one action going down south. As you continue going ahead, you are now rushing into a one-way street is the only way out, and it's going the wrong way. So you're heading into oncoming traffic.
Oh my god.
Fred, can I give you some bonus just to make sure that we're extra good about this?
I can always push it. Let's go.
Okay.
And I'm gonna push it. So let's say originally I was just driving straight ahead, but this time I'm gonna try and pull like a cool swerve to the side of the road, lip the tire on like the center divider thing, and just try to like tilt the truck to dodge. 16. Look at that.
All right, so you tilt the car up onto one wheel and manage to go just over this passing truck and get to the other side.
All right, I believe we still have one more action.
You do still have one more action because of that pedal to the metal.
It looks like to our left is a lake, a poison swamp.
There is a big old pothole in the street that is pooled up with water. So you will have to try to get around that to go north, or you can continue going down the wrong way.
What do you think, squad?
Well, I for one have faith in Fred, so I'm going to say turn north.
I'm also in camp turn north.
Yeah.
Personally.
We're pretty far.
Yeah. Let's go north.
All right. Pothole it is.
All right. How do you choose to get around it?
I'd like to go so fast that it just goes over. Like, there's not enough traction for us to go into the pothole. We just glaze over it.
I like hydroplaning it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
Okay, roll drive auto.
It's a 6.
Oh my god.
Oh, good lord.
My god.
Let's
Aaron.
Gamble. Let's gamble.
All right, and that is your turn.
Aaron, okay. I swear, you're coming with me to Vegas next time.
I don't think you want low numbers in Vegas.
Well, if you do roulette.
There we go.
I'd like to bet it all on, like, I don't know, 2.
So for his first action, the Greater Dane is going to summon more hordes of these factory workers.
No!
And they pop up surrounding the mystery machine.
Oh, no.
Then, for his second action, Fred, make a power roll.
Uh-oh. So that's going to be an 85, but it's not like me to leave that. So just give me a quick little push here. It is still a 55, so let's see what horrible consequences ensue.
Well, this is a power versus power matchup, and he rolled a 69.
Nice.
Next number.
So you will not have a spontaneous heart attack.
Oh my god! What the?
So that will fail. So now he's going to use his third action on Daphne. Make a power roll.
21. We're good.
He rolled a 6.
Can you luck it?
I could luck. Yeah, we can do that. I'll push out 16 points to push it down to a 5.
Okay,
so with a 5...
Dan is like, I really want to just ruin Daphne, just destroy Daphne. I'm like, no. 14 luck left.
You feel yourself beginning to choke as lungs, as water begins to spontaneously fill up in your lungs.
As your lungs fill up with lungs.
As your lungs fill up with lungs.
Lungception.
Oh, awful.
So as water begins to fill through your lungs and you begin coughing up this water through that little bit of extra magic that you got from the Arcane Grimoire, you are able to forcibly power yourself through it and eject all of it in one go to prevent yourself from drowning.
Nice.
Do I just like projectile vomit a bunch of water?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Gross. Hell yeah.
Ew. Holy Daphne, careful!
Leans out the window.
And then for fourth and final action, is going to move one node closer.
Four actions?
Jesus.
She's a god.
All right, so now it's back to the anthill mob.
I love the fact that they're here.
We're going to see the chaos and pandemonium going on. They look between the Greater Dane and they look at the hordes, and Clyde gives a big old gulp and says, all right, boys, you know what Miss Penelope would want us to do.
Oh my god.
For Miss Blake! And they all open fire.
Oh my god!
At the factory workers surrounding you. So they're going to make a firearm roll. That's a 30, so that's a success.
My god.
A 60, so that's a fail. So they are only able to take down the ones to your left. So there is still an approaching mob directly in front of you coming from your right. So you can veer off to the left to try to avoid them on your turn or try to barrel straight through them. And then for their second action, they're going to head directly for the Greater Dane.
Oh my god.
To try and distract.
Oh no, boys. Oh no.
Say your prayers, boys. We're all gonna die. So now it is Mystery Ink's turn.
It's not what I expected to have happen when I wanted the anthill mob involved in this game.
All right, so I'll start with our dry vada, see if I can get us that extra action.
And then there's something I want to say when we've got a moment.
Go for it.
Say it.
Okay, I want to lean out the window and go, Remy! You're a good boy.
Aww.
Aww.
You were always a good boy.
And the Greater Dane, with its many eyes, will look towards you. One eye sheds a single tear. And the Greater Dane says,
oh boy.
Remy, you're a rude boy.
Another eye sheds another tear.
And I'm going to keep doing that.
What I will do, because that's pretty good, and I can't give you inspiration, roll a d10.
Okay.
I'm going to let you have another spell. So what did you roll?
3.
All right. You get the spell Dismiss Deity.
Oh my god.
This is the best spell in the game.
And it couldn't have come at a better moment.
Oh my god.
Is it like a banishment or something like that?
So here's how the spell Dismiss Deity works. You can cast the spell, taking a hefty sanity loss, and burning up as many magic points as you want to contribute. And then you make a roll on whether it succeeds or fails. The threshold for success is equal to the number of magic points you put in. So if you burn 10 magic points, you have to roll a 10 or below for it to work.
Okay. Oh.
Is okay.
Other people can contribute, and you can burn away your health points as additional magic points to raise that threshold of success. So if the more people that are contributing, the higher the threshold of success.
Okay.
But that will take up multiple actions to be able to cast that spell.
I'm ready to start that if and when everyone else can lend me your power.
Hey, Dan?
Yes?
The caster may convert points of power into points of other characteristics with this spell. Can I give a shit ton of points to Scooby?
You can reduce your own power, Daphne,
right,
in order to increase Scooby's. And Scooby, your magic points are equal to 1/5 of your max power.
Scooby, what is your power?
My power is at 90.
Power's at 90?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you an additional 10.
Okay.
To push you up to that 100.
I have 15 magic points right now.
So can I contribute my 8? Well...
This feels like final game.
Yeah, same.
I toss you my 6.
Okay.
You know what? Deal life is not gonna happen. I'm just gonna give you all 8.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give Scooby all 8 of my magic points. I don't have any spells, so might as well do it.
I'm currently at 37.
Take another 4 from all of my health but 1.
My god, Fred! I'm at 41.
Fred, you're driving.
If you do this now, you will stop driving, and the mystery machine will stand still as the factory workers close in.
I'm going to hold on to 2 points, and I'm going to give you 12. And then I do have some hit points that I can give you, and I'll give you, like, 5 extra hit points, and that'll put me at 3.
Okay.
So what are we at?
We're at 58. That's pretty good.
I'm going to give you 2 more to get this to an even 60 by dropping down to 4 HP.
Okay, and then I'm going to donate 10 of my hit points to this.
So we're now at 70.
We're now at 70.
You know what? I'm going to go down to 10 power, and I'm going to give you 30 more points of power.
Ooh.
So that's an extra 6 magic points, I believe.
So 76. This has a really high chance.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Let's do this roll. Let's send Sammy back to the abyss, boyos.
Let's do it.
We're all, the car is stopped. We're all leaning out the window saying, Sammy, you're a good boy.
You're a good boy.
Like, you're a good, boy, man.
Sammy, you're a good boy,
Sammy.
And then before the results of the roll are revealed, the factory workers clamber up to the sides of the mystery machine and begin scratching, clawing, and tearing at the doors. You are surrounded. They are closing in on you. And the Greater Dane is looming off in the distance. And as you're saying this, Scooby, you black out. And you find yourself surrounded by eyes and a gravelly voice.
God, this is familiar.
That says,
this troll, come away. If you agree to be my host, Sammy can be saved. Corzell can be saved. Your friends can be saved.
None of this
will ever happen. My reach will be greater.
The original Scooby-Snacks
will be the only ones who have ever existed.
Everything you know will be the same. You will continue to go on your adventures. Sammy will be in a happy, loving home. Your friends will all be alive and well. All you need to do is let me in. Make a small adjustment to history. And then the original recipe Scooby Snacks are all that will have ever existed. You can save everyone, Scooby. Will you do it for a Scooby Snack?
Oh, you bastard.
Damn.
Little does he know, Scooby doesn't feel hunger anymore.
Oh, yeah!
Not to mention, he's telling you he wants to make the vanilla ones the only ones that exist.
Ruck Renilla.
Perfect!
Full
All right, what's the results of your roll?
Right. Everybody will be Rafe. because Rami is a rude boy.
The roll was 17.
Yeah! Holy shit!
Baseball bat, knock this entity out of here!
And you see a flash in your mind as you are communing with this entity and see its true name so that you can successfully banish it.
Are you going to send it to me? Or are you going to say it? Oh, you sent it to me. Oh, I can't say that. What the hell? Do I have to save it to expel him?
Yes, that's how you get rid of all the gods.
As Scooby.
Skrelyek Jurg, leave Shammy alone.
Close enough.
what was the name?
Skrelyek Jurg.
Huh, neat.
I did the classic technique of just banging my hands against the keyboard and seeing what combination.
Hell yeah.
God damn it.
Wow.
My only criteria was it had to be an SD name.
Oh, I noticed that.
You
I definitely noticed that.
Stinker.
And as you say that, all of the factory workers collapse in place in convulsions. This cloud of evil energy that is surrounding the anthill mob as they are all hugging each other, saying their goodbyes. And Dum Dum says, "Hey, boss, I think we left Penelope Pit Stop unsafe. Is Sylvester Sneakley the Hooded Claw?"
Oh my god.
I don't know, Dum Dum, but now really does not feel like the time to be going over this. It feels like the last time we'll be able to go over this, boss.
Oh my god.
And I just feel like we failed at our fundamental mission. And the cloud dissipates as tears stream down from each of these eyes that all, one at a time, blink out of existence. And from the tears is left a shivering, gray Great Dane that looks up at the anthill mob, looks back to the mystery machine, and looks at you, Scooby.
I want to run to Sammy.
You jump over these piles of weird fish people bodies and scramble your way towards Sammy.
And I just want to go, "It's going to be okay, Sammy." And I want to look over at the anthill mob and go, "Ray, do you guys need a mascot?"
Oh, that's too cool.
"This is a good boy."
And Sammy looks at you with confusion, looks at the anthill mob, and then perks up and says, "I have some acting training. I could do it with or without a lisp."
They do love their accents in that gang.
And the anthill mob looks to each other, and Softy says,
"I don't think Miss Pitstop's a dog person."
Well, Miss Pitstop can take the dog.
Yak Yak says in response to that, "I think it's a problem she's gonna have to just get over."
Damn right it is.
Like their man's best friend.
As I go up to Scooby and I like give him scritches behind the ears.
He kicks his foot.
And Sammy says, "You're a good boy, Scooby-Doo. I know whatever that entity was called itself the Greater Dane, but I think it's safe to say that you're the greatest Dane."
Oh.
Oh.
You feel a little peckish.
Ooh.
Yay!
And Sammy goes off with the anthill mob, scrambles into the back of the bulletproof bomb, and Clyde tips his hat to you, Daphne, and says, "Well, I think we can call this a job well done, Mish Blake."
"I think we can too, boys."
"Now, Dum Dum, what was that you were saying about the Hooded Claw?"
I think it's Sylvester Sneakley, boss." And he bonks him over the head, and like a little cartoonish red lump pops up.
"You idiot! The Hooded Claw looks nothing like Sylvester Sneakley. Sylvester Sneakley's her uncle and her devoted guardian. He wouldn't try anything underhanded."
"Oh, okay, boss. I think you're right.
All right, well, we gotta get going, Mish Blake. We gotta make sure that Mish Pitstop's okay before the Hooded Claw strikes again."
"Absolutely, boys. Thank you for all your help. I really appreciate it."
and they peel off out of there.
And then I want to turn to Shaggy and say, Raggy, I real like having a ranrich.
You hungry, Scoop?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could go for some food myself.
And the credits roll as you drive back to O'Greasy's malt shop.
As we're driving, Fred's got his knees up on the steering wheel and he's writing in the notebook, like putting the check mark next to the mystery that we just solved.
And then there's one thing we're missing for any roll credits moment. Crack my knuckles, crack my neck.
And in the background, as the credits roll, we get a little Where Are They Now montage. Constance McSnack gets wheeled into the hospital. Her bed pulls up right next to Stacy Tires in a full body cast, both still alive but badly beaten up. We then see the police on scene at Snacks Corp, identifying the dead body as belonging to the real Scott Davis. They order an immediate shutdown of Davis Delights. At the grocery store, crates of Sammy's Surprise are wheeled out onto the floor, but before they get unloaded onto the shelves, a government agent steps in and confiscates them all. He then gets out a Men in Black-style memory wiper and begins going through all of the witnesses. Government vans pull through the streets to clean up the bodies, and Red Herring manages to avoid them all, staying undetected by hiding in the bushes. But as he's hiding in the bushes, he hears a heavy breathing behind him and turns around to see the Appendix Fairy. He screams and runs off into the distance. Tyler Stately, the new head of the Eagle Scouts, marches the kids out towards the Coolsville crater, but they find that the meteor and all traces of it are completely gone. He's confused for a moment, but then turns the kids around to camp somewhere else. Steve Davis, running away from some black government vans, is unable to avoid capture and is thoroughly memory wiped before being deposited at Snacks Corp. A freshly recovered Constance McSnack hands him a security guard outfit, and in a daze, he walks into the locker room. Constance pulls out a clipboard and writes Steve Davis's name under the layabout column. The Ant Hill Mob, even with Sammy as their newest member, never pieces together that Penelope Pitstop's legal guardian Sylvester Sneakley is the Hooded Claw, and their cat-and-mouse game continues. The government vans begin to drive past the National Exaggerator, and Snoop's byline sticks his head out the window and angrily shakes a fist at them. The agents ready a memory wiper, but their head G-Man holds them back and shakes his head no, and they drive away towards O'Greasy's malt shop, leaving Snoop's byline the only one in town unaffected by the memory wipe. The gang walks out of the malt shop, Scooby and Shaggy both waddling towards the mystery machine with enormous bellies before letting out a gigantic belch and immediately slimming back down to normal. The gang then drives away from Coolsville, the government vans missing them by mere moments as they do. As they drive away, they find stuck under one of the seats one more box of the caramel butterscotch Scooby snacks. They drive off into the sunset, Scooby and Shaggy chowing down as Fred adjusts the radio just in time to hear Casey Kasem lead into a recording of the Hex Girls live in concert.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Hex Girls!
When you hear something go bump in the night, or you swear you're being watched by disembodied eyes, and you're not sure if you can make it out alive, you gotta decide to run or fight for your life. A blood curdling howl in the air sends shivers down your spine. Tell me who's there. But sooner or later you'll find the monster's lair. Is this a crazy dream or a real life nightmare? There's no time to be scared. Don't get caught unprepared. The Hex Girls will be there, and you better dig deep, cause you gotta solve a mystery. There's no time to be scared. Don't get caught unprepared. The Hex Girls will be there, and you better dig deep, cause you gotta solve a mystery. Oh yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Call of Cthubi Doo, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Our cast was Aaron Coffold as Fred Jones, Grayson Norman as Velma Dinkley, Daniel Cruz as Daphne Blake, Ben Magnet as Shaggy Rogers, and Jordan Nelson as Scooby-Doo. Our theme song and outro was Fight for Your Life, written and performed by Nicole Carino as The Hex Girls. Additional music this episode was provided by Adventurers Music Pack and Albert Gyorfi. Be on the lookout for more bonus campaigns like Call of Cthubidoo, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast. Oh, yeah. You got us all the